Hello, welcome to episode 71 of the Extra Sequential podcast, hosted out of Perth, Western Australia for now. My name is Mladen.
My name is Chris, and today, Mladen, we are talking about, Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, something to do with an egg, Joker got away, use Catwoman in there, I don't know, but we're talking about Christmas, what to buy people for Christmas, comic-themed Christmas goodies.
And I guess what not to buy as well will come up, and there's as well as some kind of general advice on how do you shop for people, whether they're comic fans or they're not, and you just want to force your hobby down their throat, which we all want to do, really, don't we?
Yes.
And of course, we'll be doing our usual news segment as well. How have you been, Chris?
Not bad. I had some. I've had nachos for dinner for the last two nights.
That's so very sad.
Bachelor lifestyle. But I've also been doing some push-ups and sit-ups every night, some leg crunches, and I can feel myself getting slimmer.
When I imagine your bachelor lifestyle, I think of Fry from Futurama. You're just lying in a dimmed room watching TV, maybe with a pizza balanced on your gut, going, I'm doing sit-ups.
Box of shorts with some holes in it.
Yes, exactly.
One sock or something.
Buying $1 million can of
anchovies. Does that mean you are my bender in this equation?
I don't drink as much. I'm more of a Leela. I'm more of like a Killjoy. Hey, I have good news. I just sold my car today.
Oh, congratulations. Thank you very much. Two Swedish backpackers or something. Or was that Shelley's car?
No, this was a UK backpacker. Maybe
backpackers love cars.
But things are happening. Things are moving. The wheels are turning. Life moves on. The perfect Strangers theme song is going in my head. You know?
The Golden Girls is in my head. That's good. So what's next in this transatlantic? It's not transatlantic. Well, interstage journey of yours.
Well, I've been bleeding comics over eBay for the last couple of weeks, so that's been an entertaining experience. I keep underestimating postage. Do you know what that's like? Have you ever done this? Yes? I'm going to talk about comedian.
eBay, no.
Yeah. Apparently, postage is really expensive, and I've learned that the hard way because I undercharged for it.
And are there some comics that it's hard to say goodbye to?
Kind of, and then I think, no. I'm not going to miss this copy of Body Count starring Raphael and Casey Jones as they murder some thugs. It's a cool comic, but I'm not going to miss it.
Fair enough.
Drawn by Simon Bisley and written by Kevin Eastman. Hey, we have some news items this week, surely.
Surely we do. A couple of new trailers have been released this week. Briefly, not really we're talking about too much. Both open next year. G.I. Joe Retaliation, which is the sequel to the very bad movie from a couple of years ago. A few new characters are in, a few new characters are out. Bruce Willis and The Rock are in it. G.I. Joe Retaliation opens next year. Men in Black 3, it seems like it's more of the same of the first two films. This is based on a comic, we should point out, by Lauren Cunningham, I believe, back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Never read that,
no. And yeah, it's travelled back in time, and none of those excite me. Have you seen?
Have I seen the trailers? I've kept away from them. I've also kept away from the Dark Knight Rises prologue, which came out, I think, this week. I don't want to really know anything about it, but you can go ahead and spoil it. I'll just block my ears.
No, I know very brief of it, and the journalists have actually been pretty good. A bootlegger's new trailer has popped up and then disappeared. But if you go to see Mission Impossible 4, which I am looking forward to, on IMAX, you will see the, 7-minute prologue or something at the front of the film, much like they did in the same thing with the Joker's gang back probably because they did the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The Dark Knight a couple of years ago. So sticking with DC Comics, Justice League Doom is the next animated film, and that comes out on February 28th. They've just released the box art for it, and that's the news right there. So it's based on the Mark Waid Tower of Babel storyline from the 90s. Okay. So that comes out in February. It's pretty big departure from the comics, but it's actually also the last screenplay written by the late great Dwayne McDuffie. He's done a lot of comics and cartoon work over the years, so that's JLA, Justice League Doom.
Before we move on, why the generic name change?
Instead of Tower of Babel, I don't know. Maybe they thought Americans don't know what Babel is. People don't know what the Bible is.
They thought it might be a religious thing. So
maybe Tower of Babel.
The biblical Justice League of America, Tower of Babel. You know, that could be a real thing. So it probably is. One of those little comics that they give you on a street corner. Have you seen those ones? There's that guy. Yeah.
The tracks.
Yeah, I should read more of those. We should review those on the show.
Oh, I've got plenty I can give you.
Really? Oh, no.
Well, I am a Christian. I think we've had this discussion.
Are you sure?
You know what? They are doing a musical, an Austin Powers musical.
No.
Stage musical.
What a waste of talent and time and effort and money.
Can't be any worse than the Spider-Man musical. I wonder how many people get injured.
There'll be fewer.
Dolly, baby. Oh, my neck.
There'll be less wire work with this. But they're making musicals of everything. Like, there's a Sister Act Broadway musical, isn't there?
There's a Rocky one. Seriously, a Rocky one.
I think they realise people only go to see musicals if they're based on things that they like and know, you know? Yeah. We've seen the we saw the bump over the last couple of months from DC's sales figures boosts from their relaunch or whatever we want to call it, who cares? And for a while they had they were dominating the market share.
Dominating the market share.
Depending on how you define dominating. And now, already in November, they've swung back and Marvel and DC are pretty much tied dead even.
Yes.
Now, what does this mean, Chris? Do you think this means that the bump that they had hasn't lasted or they haven't kept their customers? Or what do you think's happened?
Well, I did briefly read an interview, which I can no longer remember any of, but I think the senior VP out of sales and marketing, of DC, and he was basically saying, you know, this is still the single issues, let's just wait until the trades come out. The trades are coming out, March of next year. So when they come out, the collections of all these issues, then hopefully there'll be another spike. But, yeah, it's not surprising, really. I mean, September, everything got relaunched. Comics DC was in, you know, New York Times and Washington Post. It was plastered all over the web. People that don't read comics knew about it. I've had non-comics readers telling me that they got on board. I'm sure you have as well. But I guess not a lot of them have kind of stuck with it, which is kind of a shame, but also it makes me laugh at DC and give them a big wedgie and say, you idiots, why did you try and fix something that wasn't broken?
Well, it was broken, let's be honest. I mean,
well, from a sales standpoint, from a creative standpoint.
All they did was reshuffle the talent they already had, didn't they, really? And then just give Malibu Stacy a new hat and otherwise just changes that pissed off like core fans like you who liked what was happening and not made it much simpler to attract the new fans. I still think they should have just went, none of that's happened. The last 30 years, none of it. Here it is. He's fresh on the beat, Batman. I would have gone, ooh, that's interesting and ballsy, you know. But maybe that's why people were like, oh, okay, it's just the Batman I've known for the last 20 years. Or, you know, the other characters as well. But maybe people were just underwhelmed by the books or...
Well, I mean, Superman Earth 1, that sold heaps, and we talked about that even though you and I didn't like it, but a lot of non-comics fans kind of did, and they're getting sequels, and I guess that's more of a retelling of its origin, but in an original graphic novel format.
So what does that mean? Does that mean if that book had come out in periodical, in pamphlet comic form, I doubt it would have done as good? Yeah.
Correct.
So it must be, it's an issue, maybe they're concentrating too much on, you know, the content and should be refocusing on the format and trying to find things that people like.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's talk about puppets.
Oh, yes. All right. Now, we're not talking about the Muppets movie. We are talking instead about Perth comic book and illustrator artist Sean Tan. I should say
Oscar-winning
Sean Tan. Yes. Yeah, it makes him sound so important. And multiple picture book prizes and so forth. If you're in Perth, you can catch the Spare Parts Puppet Theatre adaptation of his work The Arrival, which is his wordless graphic novel about an immigrant arriving in a bizarre foreign land. Wordless, black and white, beautiful comic. Do you have any details about the show itself, Chris?
So it's running from now until 23rd of December and again from the 9th to the 28th of January. Adapted from Sean Tan's multi-running book, unique theatrical experiences traverses themes of freedom, migration, survival, love and acceptance. The absence of words not only makes the story perfect for puppetry. It's also got, I do know that it's kind of, it blurs the boundaries of performance, digital animation, and puppetry. So it's not just a bunch of puppets going, but it's actually animation and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it should be actually pretty good. And The Arrival was a pretty good book. So, pick that up. So that's on from, as I said, until the 23rd of December again in January. And that's at the Spare Parts Puppet Theatre. If you are in Perth, check it out.
Fantastic.
Also coming to Perth.
Yeah, pluggy plug.
Is Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. Oh, yeah.
Wait, what? What is this?
Jay and Silent Bob, as in Kevin Smith.
Yeah. Is Kevin Smith doing a stage show or something? A stage musical?
Yes, he's a wonderful storyteller. Kevin Smith is the writer-director of Clerks, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Mallrats. He directed Cop Out, which is a bad film, yes, because that wasn't his script. He was in Die Hard 4. Yo, what are you doing in my command center?
That Mom! Guy. Yeah.
And he's got, you know, apart from Ricky Gervais, this guy is like killing it on the podcast. He's got a whole family of podcasts. So, Jay and Silent Bob, Kevin Smith, and his, one of his actor bestie friends, Jason Mewes, basically have been doing college tours for the last few years. And Kevin Smith is an amazing storyteller, very funny, very crude, not for everybody, but, he's such a humble, kind of down to earth guy. And, you have to just go on YouTube, and I'm sure I've said this before, but Google Kevin Smith Superman story and just watch the insanity of Hollywood unfold from this man's mouth. It's pure comedic gold. So they're going to be performing at the Malignant? At the Astor Theatre in Perth in April. So
okay. Good luck.
Stage 18 of April. So yeah. I'm tempted, but, I don't know.
Well, Chris gives his average recommendation there. That was like...
Well, I do, but, it's too much effort to leave the house.
Yeah, YouTube. Look it up later.
I do have all his DVDs.
You are a dedicated fan, then.
Does college tours. He puts them all on DVDs.
You have crossed his palm with silver. See, that's a biblical thing. There you go. I'm down.
Well, I'm not killing anyone, but yes.
Let's get into our feature topic to do with Christmas.
Christmas, indeed. It's Christmas in heaven.
Hip, 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 hooray. Every single Chris.
What? Yes.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
I was listening to Michael Bublé's Christmas album.
I know, you told me last week, and I didn't care then, don't care now.
What for Christmas?
Let's hear it for Christmas. I don't know what Michael Bublé sounds like, that's a guess.
Nothing like that.
And Michael Bublé is typically chosen as a stocking stuffer. And if you have room in your stocking next to Michael Bublé, you might want to fit a comic in there. Why, you say, a comic? Even for non-comic fans, I think you and I, Chris, have a duty to spread the word and force people to read to like the stuff we like.
Well, look, every comic reader was once a non-comic reader.
Yep, we didn't have comics in the womb.
Oh, that's an interesting story. It sounds like a horror manga just waiting to write itself. But yes, so we thought, this is a good time, and lately I've been cutting down, especially because of my upcoming redundancy. Oh, yeah. Cha-ching. So I'm kind of cutting down, even though it's my... Yeah, I don't have a job, Maladdin. Do you want from me? I'm knitting my scarf. It's still a good time to, as you said, buy a comic for, Uncle Bert and Auntie Cassandra, and that weird cousin who stands in the corner with the mistletoe over his head. There's a comic out there for everybody, is what I'm trying to say.
Now, we did this topic last year, didn't we? But this time we're going to do it a little bit differently, I guess, give you some more kind of general advice. And also, I've got some individual books. But I don't know if we both stuck to the idea of making them semi-recent, but I know the more recent ones are easier to get a hold of, so that's how I've thought about it. If I've seen it in a store, then I'll recommend it. If it's something you have to get on mail order, maybe it's too late.
That's too late for you. Well, let's start with, because I recall your blustering and bold claim.
Yeah. I do. I predicted, Chris. Yeah. I put my hands on either side of my head and I summoned the spirits of Cthulhu and made them tell me what item Chris would pick this week that I would rip into him for picking. Now, I know what I think it is, and I'm guessing you can guess what I think. Guessing that you have get.
Yeah. I would guess that your guess.
Yeah.
Would be that I would say either Civil War, or Kingdom Come.
No, neither of those. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Although you might still mention the thing I hate. I'll mention it now. It's the new DC 52 hardcover book, which collects all the number ones.
Yeah, it's a mammoth thing. It's like what, 5 kilos or something ridiculous. Yeah, it's like 1,300 pages or something. It's ridiculous. But
to check this, is it on your list or it is?
It isn't. I don't know. I don't think it's the best thing to give to somebody because it's like 52 broken stories. Mm. I think it'd be best giving a trade of Swamp Thing.
Or of the first arc or something. Yeah, absolutely agree with you. And I'm so glad we're on the same page here. If you'd pick this book, I would have considered maybe ending this podcast on episode 72. Just because of creative differences, but now I respect you even more, Chris.
Ah, thank you.
If you are eyeing this for a friend, not you, Chris, but say if anyone's listening to this and you're going, oh, maybe I'll get this for someone just to introduce them to all the books, think about what you're doing.
It's $150 as well, so it's better be someone who you really wanted to have it.
But who is this for, I wondered, this whole trade? And it really is an item that DC's come out with because they needed something obvious that said DC on it with superheroes that people recognized that well-intentioned but misguided parents or wealthy uncles could buy for their nephews. Like those encyclopedia books DC puts out every year.
Yes.
But this seems like a step down from those almost. But it's a waste of money. I heartily do not endorse this product. DC don't send us previews anyway, so I don't care.
No, that's true. Vertigo have done a couple of anthology issues where it's just like 6 or 7 or 8 individual premiere issues, debut issues. Mm-hmm. I think one's called First Cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. You know, it's got the first issue of like DMZ and Scout and that kind of thing. Mm. Those are a bargain. They're like $10. I've bought them a few times.
They're priced really well. They're definitely like an entry point thing, yeah.
They haven't done one in the last year, unfortunately, but I guess a lot of Vertigo series are coming to an end and there haven't been a lot of successful new ones starting. Now, I've kind of broken mine down into kind of categories or genres, if you will.
Mm. Okay. That's fine with me. I'll be curious to see if we have any overlap because I kind of forgot what categories you had and I've just worked on my own criteria. So it's cool. Let's go for it. I know.
Kind of partnership with this. We'll start with superheroes. So I think anything for a newbie would be good from the Marvel Ultimate line. And the Marvel Ultimate line has been around for about 10 years, kicking off 2002 with Ultimate Spider-Man. And that was, or was it 2000? So basically it's more of a stripped down, bare essentials, what you need to know, kind of what DC tried to do, I guess, with their new 52, but these are more wilder reimaginings that Marvel have done. So there's Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Iron Man, The Ultimates, which is always one of my perennial favorites, with great realistic art by Brian Hitch and written by Mark Millar. So there's two volumes of that. Ignore the third volume because it's not as good. But the first two volumes of that you can buy individual trades or Omnibus. That is fantastic. All-Star Superman, we have to mention that, I think. 12 issues you can get as one or two individual trades. A couple of years ago, again, kind of DC's, I guess, kind of ultimization of Superman, written by Grant Morrison, with art by Frank Quitely. Mm. That's a pretty fantastic book, I think we can both agree on, and also adapted to a pretty good animated film. And if you can pick up any Batwoman collection by J.H. Williams III, you'd definitely be on a winner, especially if you've got people that are kind of into art and go to art school and into art students. What he does with the pencils and the lush layouts is just fantastic. So pick up that. Elegy, I believe, is the most recent trade. Mm. And Batman and Robin, again, that was relaunched a couple of years ago, written by Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely for the first few issues, but has continued on until September when the relaunch occurred. But if you can pick up any Batman and Robin issues, this focuses on Bruce Wayne as Batman after he came back from the dead, and the latest Robin, who is Damian Wayne, the legitimate son of said Bruce, and they make a great team. And well, actually, initially Batman was Dick Grayson first, and then Bruce Wayne came back.
If you're going to move on, I didn't want you to move on. I wanted to sort of mention with this comic, I've not read these recent Batman and Robin titles, with Dick Grayson and Damian. How understandable are they for someone who, say, might only know Batman through the Arkham City game, which is honestly how a lot of people are most familiar with the character lately, you know?
Yeah, and that's another good thing that I was going to mention was that there are a couple of Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, which is the original game from 2009, comic tie-ins as well, and they're actually pretty good with great art as well. But yeah, they're actually pretty accessible, especially in, you know, I mean, we do just, you know, spend several minutes lambasting and blasting the DCU universe, but the titles that have remained largely unscathed are Batman, and Green Lantern. The Green Lantern titles, they've pretty much continued as if nothing, there was no reboot, and they're good as well. So if you can pick up any issues with Batman and Robin on the cover, you're pretty much guaranteed. I'm always impressed because, you know, sometimes I read a lot of superhero comics and it's kind of easy to forget what happened last month, right? I mean, if a dozen titles every week, then it's easy to forget what happened a month later when the next issue comes out. But Batman and Robin has always been pretty good values. I mean, Green Lantern has as well, but that's kind of a hard place to start.
Yeah.
And the film didn't do it justice. It was a pretty bad film, well, compared to the comic. I'm sure if you didn't read the comic, you'd probably think the Green Lantern movie was pretty awesome. But the Green Lantern comic, if you start with Secret Origin, it's actually pretty good. I did also want to mention Secret Avengers, initially started a couple of years ago by Brian Michael Bendis and Mike Deodata, and more recently Warren Ellis. And if you can pick up any, and that's another Marvel title with Captain America, Spider-Man, and those kind of, no, Spider-Man's not in there. He's in New Avengers. It's like, you know, 27 different Avengers titles.
You're confusing me already. I'm confused. I was going to mention, like, these books you're bringing up are perfect for, I have a few know-it-all friends who don't read comics, but they pretend that they do. Which basically,
or all that they know is from the movies, and they think that's the gospel. That
and they go onto Wiki and they look and they read what's happened, and then they talk about it as if they have kept up and that they've read all about it. And but they act all like, "Oh, did you know this?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay." So maybe these kind of things are perfect for them because then they can pretend, "Oh, yeah, I was getting around to reading that." Like, you weren't ever going to read this. So yeah, get them Green Lantern, The Revenge of the Pink Arrow Corps. I don't know. What happens in these books, Chris? Something about punching and skin-tight clothes. Whatever, man. Whatever floats your boat.
Any combination thereof. Should we get away from spandex and talk about action?
Action. Yeah, all right. Let's do action because I didn't really have any spandexy comments here.
That does not surprise me.
Really? It doesn't surprise you?
No, you've never been a fan of spandex.
Not really. It's uncomfortable.
You're riding a bike and you put on those shorts. I don't know.
Let's get on with this.
Sure. Action. Jackson. Remember that movie?
No.
Where Carl Weathers jumps over a car, I believe.
Hey, shut up.
Carl, shut up. I'm talking about Carl Weathers. That's like the Shaft theme song.
Oh, you're making me laugh. Action comics are not the ones with Superman in them. Now, you may have friends who dig your Expendables kind of films, or they like a good old Transformers film and they just like to see stuff blow up, but they've said to you, you know, I just don't dig the superhero thing. And you're like, that's cool, man. There's a fair few books, I think, that kind of fit the vein. And I think a good thing to do is pick a comic based, well, that a film was adapted from.
Yes.
As a general thing, just because, one, they feel like they're not being given some obscure piece of comic paraphernalia that they're like, oh, this will change your life, because they'll never get around to reading it. Whereas if you say get them something like Warren Ellis's Red, I think that's probably a book that a lot of people would find very entertaining for sure, and it's got a familiar enough film tie-in that they're going to read it and thank you for it later. Does that sort of reasoning make sense to you, Chris?
It does, and with great art by Cully Hamner. And I did also want to mention that a similar vein, The Losers. So the film was actually okay. Have you seen the movie?
You know, I never did. This is with Idris Elba and a bunch of other people. Yes?
Correct.
Yeah.
The guy that played the comedian in Watchmen.
Dude on the Wire. That's what I...
What? And Zoe Saldana's in it. And Chris Evans is in it as well.
Oh, really?
Good so, thing. Yeah, The Losers, based on the Vertigo comic. It ran for 32 issues, and you can get, so I think it's in four or five different trade paperbacks. The first one is Anti Up. The second one is Double Down, which is basically, the film was kind of based on those two, but more kind of a streamlined narrative, I guess you could say. And that's a pretty good book. I mean, yeah, not everyone is a fan of Jock, British artist Jock. His artwork, it's pretty, yeah, would you agree with me? And that's sentiment. It's not for everybody.
Yeah, like I personally really like his art, but I can say
for newcomers, they might think, yeah. What?
That's I why think people expect like a certain, Hitch's, yeah.
Brian Hitch's work on, say, The Ultimates from Marvel, which is the Ultimate version of Captain America stuff that I said before. His is very realistic and very, very cinematic.
Yeah.
It's got a great end of the world kind of scenario, so I think that's more of an easily accessible, but if you want something that's a bit more arty,
yeah.
Then The Losers, yeah, it's definitely a good way to go. And of course, what you said, plus The Last Days of American Crime, which came out 2 years ago, by Radical Comics, Radical Publishing, who haven't really done a lot of regular comics these days, unfortunately, but that's by Rick Remender and Greg Tocchini. It's meant to be turned into a film by Avatars and Aussies, Australia's own Sam Worthington. And it's a great kind of crime and noir action, very brutal, but a good film nonetheless. And I also did want a good comic, rather, and I did want to mention Who is Jake Ellis? Trade was released in November. That collects the first and only, so far, five issues of the Who is Jake Ellis miniseries written by Nathan Edmonton.
You know, the funny thing, Chris, just if you heard me typing just then, I was looking up the release date of that particular book because I was just about to recommend it. We are on the same wavelength tonight. I'm loving it.
Well, good
yes.
one.
Yeah.
And that's you've read some of who's Jake Ellis, I think.
Yeah, I've read all of it now. Okay, it's cool. If you like the Bourne movies or the most recent Daniel Craig James Bond movies, it's more like the Bourne movies. You will definitely really enjoy who is Jake Ellis, and it's just a very kind of classy comic. I was surprised by it. Yeah, definitely a great book for newbies.
Yeah, it's more than just a straight actioner, like some dumb thug just walk around killing people in the art by Tonki Zonchic. What's his name?
Probably Zonchic.
Tonki Zonchic,
yeah.
Who's done some Marvel work. Not a lot of comics work with Daredevil, but this is certainly the best. Kind of he's got that Chiarusco, I guess, kind of style. Again, very cinematic, very easy to follow story. It's like you read the first issue. I remember when the first issue came out, and I wasn't sure what was going on, but the subsequent issues explain it. And just the colouring is fantastic. Oh, yeah. Basically, it follows this CIA analyst, John Moore, who's basically going around. He's kind of an everyday Jason Bourne, I guess. He's doing a good job, but he's got help by Jake Ellis. He's kind of – Jake Ellis sees everything, but only John sees Jake. So he's kind of got this
– kind of like this ghostly figure who
– and eventually we discover – how origin of it kind of traced back to the secret bunker and facility that created them.
It's a really
great
fun
action
idea,
from start to finish. And I'm always a big fan of Nathan Edmonds' work. Pick that up. Who is Jake Ellis from Image Comics?
If your friends are into, say, crime dramas like The Wire and such, you can't go wrong with a volume of Scalped, I would find.
Yes, well, you mentioned that one, yes. Yep. Jason Aaron, who's also doing Wolverine and X-Men and stuff at the moment with Marvel.
Mm-hmm. And if they're into, say, the more virtuoso crime, crazy crime drama like your Tarantino films or Snatch, those kind of films, they should check out Blue Estate. Now, this is a comic through Image Comics.
Yep.
The first trade's been collected and out, and it's ongoing at the moment, but it's this very sort of high energy, very entertaining / funny / violent / kind of clued in kind of with references and so forth. And a kind of, it's got the pacing of a film like Snatch in a weird way, in a comic form. So if you want something that reads a little bit differently, that's one to check out. And Image Comics have been totally impressing me lately. I'm impressed with them.
Yeah, they've been on a roll. I mean, I'm sure when we do next week's show, when we talk about our favourites of the year, the Image Comics have come up more than a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
I'm all done with action.
Okay. Let's maybe move on to just some kind of oddball items, I guess.
Sure.
Now, there's always a few kind of strange items, and I guess that your friends who are into indie comics are going to be into their own thing, and maybe they don't want you buying them anything. Who knows? They might already have it. Whereas someone who you're trying to shop for, I don't know, I guess you've got to find something that strikes that right balance of having nice enough art and isn't too out there, but is still, you think, something that'll appeal to them. So when I was thinking of kind of the more indie side or the alternative side of things, I was thinking, okay, what's got a story that's engaging? What's not too different? I'm not going to get them new engineering by Yokiyama. I forget his name now. The crazy Japanese manga guy. I saw this one recently. Have you heard of a comic called Starstruck?
Yes, I actually reviewed the audio drama, but I wasn't that impressed by it. But I know a lot of people rave about it, but I haven't read the comic. I know, I think a recent edition came out from IDW.
That's right, yeah. IDW recently put out the deluxe edition, which is like big-sized, revised and recolored hardcover book. And it's a creator-owned science fiction slash fantasy series, which had been running since 1982. And it's a giant intergalactic power struggle. But most of the cast, or a lot of the cast, is actually female, and they drive the plot more than, say, the male characters. So on that note, it's already kind of different to a lot of comics by having... It's a joke now saying strong female lead, but it's full of them. But it's got quite detailed and imaginative artwork concepts, and it was very cutting edge in its approach and storytelling. So, say, I would think that this is one of those indie comics that comes from that period of the kind of 80s boom, but a lot of fans of, say, the 80s boom, Cerebus, you know, the other creator-owned books might not have read Starstruck. So, that might be the kind of book you'd buy them because it's a little piece of comics history.
Well, it's also, it's a comedy, isn't it? Like, it's more tongue-in-cheek.
Mm, it's quite farcical.
Kind of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but not that absurd.
Mm, that's what I've gathered from it as well. So, that's just a mild recommendation as well. Day Tripper recently came out from Vertigo in trade paperback form, I think in February, and that's been flying off the shelves from what I've gathered. That was a huge hit for twin brothers Gabriel Bá and Fabio Moon from Brazil. It tells... they're sort of interconnecting one-off stories where the main character dies in different points of his life. So, it kind of says it's not like a what-if. Well, in a way, it is a what-if. Like, how do you live your life? It could end at any moment. What are the things you're going to remember and what are the things you're going to take from it? And it's quite an empowering or quite a very human story. And you get a nice snapshot of what South America's like to boot. Kind of modern-day South America and the life there for normal people. It's a fascinating book from these guys, and because it's from Vertigo Comics, very easy to get a hold of.
Yes, that is true. I guess Habibi by Craig Thompson is another one that came out. Well, it's another recent release. Mm-hmm. If he likes Blankets, which was his kind of magnum opus that came out a few years ago now, mm-hmm. Black and White, that was published by Top Shelf, about a young guy grappling with his first love and faith. Mm-hmm. Habibi is the long-anticipated follow-up, not necessarily a thematic link, and we both talked about this briefly last week because it's a book that's been sitting on our shelves we haven't read yet, but we'll get to it eventually. But it's highly praised. It's 672 pages, published in September, came out from publisher Pantheon, who I believe did his first book, Goodbye Chunky Rice. Wonderful, beautiful art, kind of set in the Middle Eastern world, so it's got great detailed art, and more, from what I understand, more kind of not an obvious linear narrative, but more kind of dreamlike state and whatnot. I've got to get to that over the Christmas.
I think
holidays,
it draws from his. Did you read his travel memoir book, the one where he traveled?
Yes, Carnet de Voyage, which is another one to get the artist in your family, and there's great and James. James Jean has also got a few great.
Yes. Any James Jean art book, sketchbook, cover,
process,
illustration.
Process. Yes,
he has so many of those. There's lots of books, and they're all in bookstores, not widely available, but if you know, go to indie bookstores, you will find them quite easily, and your art print stores and so forth. And that's something I didn't bring up, but there's quite a few print stores now which sell comic book art or original prints. I've seen Charles Burns prints, I've seen Chris Ware prints, and James Jean prints are freaking everywhere. So that's kind of a really awesome gift you could get for someone, and almost guaranteed that they won't have it.
James Dean has done covers for Fables, Batgirl, Birds of Prey, Green Arrow. So he's kind of dabbled in comics, mainstream comics in that way. But he's one of those artists. Once you see it, you kind of know if you like it or not. But like it. Yeah. That's great work.
And before we move on, Blankets has just come out in a new hardcover. So again, it's quite easy to get. And that's a lot of people I've spoken to. That's Of the recent batches of comics that have come out the last couple of years, this seems to be one that's converting people to comics again.
This is one that I have brought this, Blankets, and The Ultimates that I mentioned before, the Marvel Avengers series. That those two books in particular I have bought more than any other books for people. Blankets isn't cheap. It's, again, it's, you know, a few hundred pages thick, so be sure that the person you're going to buy it for is at least curious about comics. But that's one of those books that you just will read in one sitting.
Very engrossing.
Gorgeous looking book.
It's a coming-of-age tale, if you're not familiar with it, but told in a very kind of beautiful, kind of human way. It's not an obnoxious kind of Juno-esque indie romp. It's a bit more kind of mellow, and he just seems normal. That's what I like about it.
He is kind of an everyday teen, kind of, you can see yourself in him, can't you?
Yeah, very easy. And it has enough space in the book for you to really get to know him almost. So, yeah, highly recommended. And one similar to what you mentioned, I've had great luck with this one, lending it to people, The Nightly News.
Yes.
By Jonathan Hickman.
Written in that. And this was kind of the book that broke him.
Yeah,
and
break out
this
hit,
is another book that will convert a lot of people to sequential art. It's very, it's not a traditional comic.
No, it doesn't look like a comic, really. Like, it looks like a piece of, the interior art looks like a piece of clever kind of graphic design. And a flick through might not even tell you that it's a comic. You might think it's just art or something. Because, yeah, it is quite unusual, and I think that gets over that barrier, which a lot of people surely have, which is they're a little bit embarrassed to read a comic, and I understand that. So a book like this makes them feel like it's not a comic, it's a story told using pictures, and just don't tell them that's the same thing as a comic, right? Yeah.
Yes.
But, that's through Image, I'm pretty sure. Image Comics. The book is through Image Comics, I'm pretty sure.
What book can we talk about again?
The Nightly News, you ass.
I'm looking for something else.
You never listen.
yes, it is correct. Jonathan is currently writing Fantastic Four, by the way.
Now, in terms of all ages books, there's been lots of really good ones.
Return of the Dapper Men.
I know you spoke very highly of that one.
Yes, and I mentioned this in my best of last year, I believe, written by Jim McCann, who actually started his work working on soap operas, I believe, writing soap operas, and then worked in Marvel's kind of marketing department. And that's how I got to know him first, because he was the one who sent out the press releases. And great art by Janet Lee. And it's basically one of those, you know, there's been some great all-ages books, and Archaea have done quite a few lately. The most recent one upcoming will be the Jim Henson one, The Storyteller, which hopefully we can review in a future episode.
Yeah.
But Archaea kind of do very well-presented books. They don't publish a lot.
Yeah.
They don't do monthly comics. They specify, they focus on original graphic novels. But Return of the Dapper Men came out late last year, and a sequel is on the way. And it's just... Yeah, it's basically just a very kind of whimsical, steampunky kind of a bunch of guys all dressed kind of like Doctor Who, kind of descend from the sky with umbrellas, and then kind of they befriend these kids, and they've got to kind of restart time. And it's a very kind of easy to follow comic, and it looks great. And the way that Janet Lee, who's this is her first art, and kind of does this kind of layered effect where she's actually not just using pen and ink on a page, but actually cuts things out, sticks it on, and then scans it in high resolution and all this kind of. So it's a very unusual looking book. It's a very pretty looking book. It's something that you can leave on a coffee table or your bookshelf for visitors to flick through. So that's Return of the Dapper Men. Highly recommended.
The next three I'll mention kind of double up as gifts you could almost get your granddad, or you could get your granddad as well. And they're all reprints of classic material, and I'm sure you could guess which books I'm going to mention here, because they have been
Asterix and
no, not Phantom. At all. No, all wrong. Lately we've just not been guessing each other's things, which is good. Which is good. We're full of surprises. So Donald Duck Lost in the Andes.
Oh, of course, yes. Which we reviewed in a few episodes ago.
Come out, beautiful new hardcover, and they're reprinting the classic Donald Duck / Scrooge McDuck stories in lovely new hardcover books from Fantagraphics Books. And they're not being published in chronological order just yet. This comes somewhere in the middle of the period, but it collects some of the most kind of memorable stories. And they're a lot of fun. They're very, I found them very funny.
They're surprisingly kind of contemporary. I guess it's like watching the Marx Brothers or Three Stooges. They still stand the test of time. We read that Lost in the Andes book, I wasn't expecting it to be that entertaining, so I was quite impressed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the humor is no, there aren't so many topical references. So, like, oh, how about that Kaiser Wilhelm, eh? Yeah. Like, it's more, they try and the humor's in the characters. And I found it incredibly charming in that way. So that's Donald Duck, Lost in the Andes. And it's a beautiful looking book as well. So grab that one. I'd also recommend the Mickey Mouse reprints, Floyd Gottfredson drawn ones. Now, Walt Disney never drew any Mickey Mouse comics. He always had people working on them. Floyd Gottfredson was basically the main Mickey Mouse artist and writer from the 30s to the 50s, I think. The first two volumes from Fantagraphics have been released. Again, beautiful looking hardcovers. So yeah, your kids won't take good care of them, but your grandpappy will love it. Because a lot of these old strips, again, were newspaper comics, and Donald Duck, you know, was as well in to begin with, I'm pretty sure. So they might never have read them in book form, or they've, you know, missed whole storylines and so forth. I think it's just, it's great that we're seeing these things. And the third one I wanted to mention was, and I've talked about these books so many times on the show, it's becoming ridiculous. The Prince Valiant hardcovers, again, from Fantagraphics Books. They're doing lots of good classic material. And like, this is probably one of those great all-ages boys' adventure books. I don't know how much kids these days would like it, but if you have a child who is into history in any way, shape, or form, my God, this book is perfect for them. And also your granddad will love you, because it's this big-sized original color. The comics have never looked this good. So, there you go.
It's true. Bring him back to his youth. Sticking with older comics, I did want to mention for a cheaper Marvel, contemporary options would be your Essential.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
For Marvel. So Marvel have been doing Essential trade paperbacks the last few years, where basically they'll just gather just an insane amount of material and reprint them in black and white on a cheaper paper, so it's very cheap. So they have Essential Wolverine Volume 1, which will collect the first 20 issues of Wolverine or whatever, Essential Fantastic Four. So they're basically just a cheaper option if you don't want to pay the premium for the archive editions, which are your hardcover, full-color reprints of the classic material from the 60s, 70s, 80s. You can get the Essentials, which also come right up to the 90s. So and they're just cheap, black and white. And if you don't mind missing out on the color, it's great. Showcase Presents by DC, which I have quite a few of on my shelf, just looking at my library now. But Showcase Presents Ambush Bug, Dial H for Hero, The Witching Hour, Superman Team Up, Enemy Ace, which we talked about on our war episode. Yep. So, and these are kind of in bookstores. So a lot of these you might kind of find difficult to find. But Showcase and Essential, you'll definitely find in kind of, you know, bookstores near you. So they'll reprint, you know, 500 black and white pages for like 20 to 30 Australian bucks. That, my friend, is a bargain. That's just hours of reading right there, and it's just good stuff.
Absolutely. This next item, I guess your kids will appreciate it, but if you're a fan of web comics, you've almost certainly heard of Dinosaur Comics.
is that really a kids' comic?
No, it's not at all. Okay. But the item I'm about to talk about is something your kids will enjoy. Okay. Now, this is updated by every day or every second day by Ryan North. I should quickly explain the comic. The panels repeat every single day. The drawings in them, it's this dinosaur stomping a house, then talking to a velociraptor, and then I think just a close-up of his face. And every day he changes the dialogue and manages to spin completely different stories out of the same images and somehow pull different expressions out of the same drawings. So he could be shocked, or he could be exasperated, because it's a cartoon. Once you put a different word in the speech bubble, it's a different context. I find it really interesting. But he's been doing all right in the merchandising department, Mr. Ryan North. And among all the cool t-shirts and such that you can buy there, and there's some great ones, there's a one with the Brachiosaurus with the mortarboard, you know, the caps that you wear when you graduate from university, and it says Professor Science on it. And a friend of mine who just finished his PhD proudly wears his everywhere.
Nice.
There's old Tex Adventure Game referencing ones and so forth, but he's just come out with a oversized T-Rex beanbag shaped like a big fat Tyrannosaurus Rex. And if you've ever wanted to lounge on a Tyrannosaurus Rex in your living room, now's your chance. But it's a luxury item, since it's like $130, but they are limited in stock. I think there's 50 left. So to all 50 extra sequential listeners, if Facebook is anything to go by, and you should all friend us on Facebook if you haven't already so we can adjust those numbers, get that out quick. Yeah, you should all buy one and thus prove that extra sequential has buying power, and then DC and Marvel will start sending us previews.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's get back to TV. You briefly mentioned TV series before.
Yep.
There is a lot of comic adaptations of your favourite TV series, not only the obvious ones like Transformers and G.I. Joe, which are currently being published from IDW, but it's also, you also do Doctor Who. Voltron has just been released. It is for people on age, kids who grew up in the 80s. Walking Dead is a huge TV series, obviously based on the Robert Kirkman Walking Image comic that's approaching 100 issues, I believe, now. You can get that in just a whole bunch of trades. Buffy, of course, is the big one when it comes to gaining new fans. That gets people through the door. People just love Joss Whedon. He's done a couple of, he did, what, 2 years on Astonishing X-Men, as well as the first year of Runaways, both for Marvel. And Game of Thrones, the comic, has also just been released from Dynamite Entertainment. So if you are, and of course, there's, you know, The $6 Million Man and any TV show you can think of, pretty much. There's a comic out there for now, or there was in the past.
Mm. Check with your retailer if they're any good, because not all of them are good. Sorry.
The recent ones I find are pretty good.
Okay.
But, right. Yeah. I mean, it's not like video games based on movies.
Yeah.
Which are generally 80% of them are bad, but comics based on...
And the other way around movies. Too.
Yeah, true.
Doesn't work.
If you know somebody who likes horror, Dark Horse Comics is the place to go. Anything Hellboy or BPRD,
yeah.
The Occultist, they do some great creepy collections.
Those have been really good, yeah.
I think eerie collections as well, maybe.
Yeah. And Vampirella, kind of they've been releasing recently as well. So good times. Good times for all.
Short stories. The Occultist I mentioned, The Strain, which is which I just reviewed actually for Broken Frontier. So I heartily recommend it. I'm not a huge horror comic fan, but this was a really great comic. The first issue has just been released. So if you just want a cheaper option, you just want to spend $4 or $5, just buy this first issue, based on a series of kind of vampire virus novels written by filmmaker Guillermo del Toro. Did Pan's Labyrinth, an awesome movie, and the first two Hellboy films, and a bunch of other stuff. And also Chuck Hogan is his co-writer. So this is The Strain. Great, great comic. Baltimore, The Cursed Bells is another good horror comic. And I did want to mention both Rombies, Roman Zombies, and Changing Ways, which came out, I think, late last year. Both Changing Ways by Justin Randall. And both Rombies and Changing Ways are by Perth's own Maladen Gestalt Publishing.
They do good work.
Comedy.
Comedy, okay.
Axe Cop.
Oh.
I talked about this in our comedy, I guess, The Tick. Most people might be familiar from The Tick. That's a great place to start. Axe Cop, volumes 1 and 2 are out now. The third volume is out in March. This is written by Malachi Nicole and his older brother, Ethan Nicole. And it's basically, it's a nonsensical romp about a moustachioid axe-wielding cop, no nonsense, and just fighting dinosaurs and getting into. I can't explain it. It's a web comic that has made the transition to print.
Yep.
And it's awesome. I've got it here on my notes. Wilson, is that actually a comedy comic though?
It's funny, but I wouldn't call it a comedy. A father kind of kidnaps his the daughter from his divorced marriage. I don't know what you'd call that scenario, but he kind of just steals her and they go on a road trip, and it's very amusing. And
I guess Harvey Pekar would probably be in a similar kind of vein, maybe.
Yeah, if you like your snarky. Wilson's by Dan Clowes, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't read it in a while, so it's not fresh in my mind. but yeah, his books are quite amusing. Yeah, definitely. When you said comedy, I kind of was like, oh, here we go. This category. But I like that you're mentioning these ones which I go, yeah, these are funny books, but they're not, they're like satires, or they're not what you think of.
Yeah.
They're not Adam Sandler. They're, I don't know, something more highbrow than that.
Yes. The Goon as well by Eric Powell.
Yes.
Fantastic, great art. And the movie has been in the works for a while. They've released so far as a trailer, but that's a great kind of basically guy goes around punching zombies and vampires and all manner of things. More of a light-hearted take on Hellboy and co, I guess. And the trades are available from that. But, The Goon and AxeCop, I cannot recommend highly enough. It's very hard to do humor in comics, but those two just make me lol.
A book which I find very, very amusing. And I guess I haven't really mentioned any manga today because, one,
I was hoping you would.
People who don't read a lot of comics or manga, they probably have already made up their mind about manga. And no matter what you give them, they're not really going to change their mind. And I kind of understand that. Manga kind of wore out its appeal by appealing to 13-year-olds in the West. The publishers did ruin that a bit. But anyway, this book I would thoroughly recommend if you have any wine snobs in your family. Maybe yes. Chris has gotten what book I'm talking about by now. The Drops yep. of God by Tatashi Yagi and Shu Okimoto. And this book tells the story of the estranged son of a professional world-famous wine tester who the only way how he can inherit his father's fortune is to he has to taste these 10 wines and not just predict which they are but describe them in perfect detail, and he has to also work out which wine is the miraculous drops of God. It's like the best, super best wine or whatever. And talk about your pretentious wine snobby books. This book is hilarious in its wine snobbery, and it's also responsible for they seem to think it's single-handedly boosted wine sales to huge levels in Korea and Japan. And I can imagine how it did, because the way they describe wine tasting in this book is really spectacular. He'll taste a wine and suddenly he'll be transported on stage with the band Queen, and they'll be playing around him and like, this wine tastes classical yet modern and with rhythm and energy. It is like the American band or the English band Queen. Or they transport to a field of flowers. Drama, comedy, a ridiculous premise with a character who can taste the wine and remember when he had the grapes when he was 5 years old. It's it's amusing, and I found it incredibly entertaining, and I highly recommend it. And it's not too wildly different from a lot of manga, except that it's about wine. You know what I mean?
I guess similarly themed about food would be the Image comic series Chew.
Oh my, yeah.
Be kind of a similar thing, or more comedic. But now, did we want to wrap things up comics wise?
I think so.
I did want to mention just briefly, if you want to get some comic related movies, briefly, obviously X-Men First Class, Captain America, and Thor all just been released on DVD and Blu-ray recently. You can also get a DC Universe animated box set, and this is brand new for this year. This contains Batman Year One, which I watched recently, based on the mid-80s awesome kind of origin telling of Batman.
Yep, by Frank Miller and David.
These are all animated films. So Batman Year One, Green Lantern Emerald Knights, which is a pretty good anthology film and a good introduction to the Green Lantern mythos. Superman Batman Apocalypse, which is Superman Batman teaming up against Darkseid, and Superman Doomsday, which is a kind of a loose adaptation of the Death of Superman comic series from 1992 to 93. So that's a DC Universe animated box set, and all those DVDs do come with some great animated features. Like DC, I've got to give props to them. They treat their animated films as an entryway. Mm-hmm. So there's interviews with writers and artists of the comics, great bios on the characters, and kind of interesting documentaries. So that's another in, I guess, much like trading cards or perhaps action figures or cartoons when we were growing up, were kind of an in to comics. I guess now it's like video games, like Arkham City, and these kind of great animated movies. So I think we've covered a lot of bases there.
Oh yeah, for sure. If you haven't heard something, if you missed something or we've gone too fast, we'll try and put a semi-complete list on the website. But man, we just went all over the place, so I don't even know how complete it'll be. Listen again, why don't you?
Take notes. Fantasy series. Templar and the Six Gun. Done. That's me finished.
Fantastic. Excellent. That's a good list for you, and hopefully tide you over until next Christmas, if Chris and I are both alive then and the world hasn't ended. Although there are those who are those guys who predicted the Earth would end this year in March? What happened to them?
They probably drank too much wine.
Alter wine, yeah. It was some sort of cult, wasn't it? And I guess after it happened, they just pretended like, oh, no, we didn't carry a one or something
calendars
like that.
Calendars were misprinted.
I don't know how they work these things out.
No. Rolling the dice.
A dart and a port with dates
on. Perhaps just on Facebook, let us know if you've received a Christmas present that opened your eyes to comics, perhaps for the first time, or to perhaps a particular character, publisher, or genre of comics that you wouldn't have known otherwise, just to pat ourselves on the back and to remind us that, hey, buying Christmas comic presents, it works, people.
Oh, for sure. And I want to know if you this year received the DC Relaunch 52 giant hardcover book, which apparently is as large as a cat. Someone took a photo for comparison.
Cat-sized.
Cat-sized. A large cat-sized, I should say, like a small dog size. There you go. I think that about wraps us up. Next week's show, I've been looking forward to this show for a while now. We are going to be looking at and announcing our best of 2011 list of comics.
Correct.
And we have our category set, and I've been furiously reading anything I've missed this year, and this week I have to read Habibi, so who knows what can happen with my listing between now and next week. It's exciting, Chris.
It is exciting. Jump on Facebook if you want to make any recommendations of that, I guess, and email us Chris with a K at extrasequential.com. You can also check us out on iTunes and even, you know, like us on iTunes or comment on iTunes as well. Comic Book Jesus is my blog. I've got a bunch of stuff up there now, reviews of Star Wars Agent of the Empire, which is a great kind of James Bond meets Star Wars, not literally James Bond and Star Wars, but a great new Star Wars series from Dark Horse, and also a review of Boom Studios' Outcast, or Valen the Outcast, as it's called, which is kind of an undead Conan. Both recommended comics that I give the thumbs up. Maladdin.
Oh, me? Music for the show is at purgeorder.com, but you will have heard some Christmas-related ditties on today's show.
Ditties!
You can get my writing at thefindmag.com. I've got music reviews there. And I think this week I'm putting up I've been doing a series of hip-hop cinema articles, kind of looking at the music in film. And this week I'm looking at Bullworth. Do you remember that movie where...
Yeah, Warren Beatty and Halle Berry.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, well, Warren Beatty suddenly is a senator who suddenly starts rapping.
So do you want to see Dick Tracy rap? That's the movie for you.
The sensitive treatment of urban culture. Yeah, so my writing's at thefindmag.com, and obviously Chris mentioned the Facebook and such. And, yeah, if you have any ideas for future shows or what you want to see us cover in the next year, or if you just want to wish us a Merry Christmas, I would be pretty happy about that.
Merry indeed.
Yeah. Thanks,
Chris. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We need a sign-off catchphrase or something. Thing to say.
Yeah, we do. Well, perhaps you can suggest one on Facebook, people.
Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas especially to the lucky recipient of the prize pack that Chris sent out.
Matthew, yes.
I was thinking, can we say his name? Yes, we can. I hope those arrive in time for your Christmas
enjoyment.
See you, Chris. And
see you, Maladdin.
And I'll see you next week. I'll be the Billy Crystal. You can be the, Whoopi Goldberg. And together we'll tell terrible jokes and pad out the show for about 4 hours. All right.
I think we're on our way right now. Goodbye, right. Everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Have a funky, funky Christmas. Have a funky, funky Christmas. Funky Christmas and a funky new year, I swear. We got ourselves a party here. Girls on the floor, no side posse at the door. Should I stop? Nah, cool. Here's more of this song.